is an in-house production.
Tune in to The Preacher's Corner, brought to you by In-House Productions with your host, Pastor JT and Lady Fanita. You can listen to this podcast on Apple, Google, Spotify, and Amazon Music.
This is an in-house production. This is an in-house production.
Yay, we back in the building. Pastor JT once again on the corner with another exclusive interview. Man, today we got my brother back on the corner again. He needs no introduction. When you see him, you're going to hear him and you're going to know exactly who he is. Corey Drums in the building.
What's goody, what's goody, what's goody? Preacher's Corner.
Goody, goody, goody. Man, turn your camera, man. You like...
I did turn the camera, man. I don't know what's up with... You know what I mean? I turned it sideways.
There you go. Whatever you did, that's it right there.
Okay.
Yay. Man, what's up, man? I see you busy as usual.
Super duper busy, man.
Congratulations on the new drop.
Thank you, brother. Thank you, man.
Gonna jump right on into it, man. Tell us about the new drop, man.
Well, the new joint that I just dropped is called Heads of the Same Serpent, the maxi single, Hots 1 and Hots 2. And it addresses, you know, the voting situation. So many times we're told to, vote for a lesser evil, even if we don't choose, if we're not agreeing with one of the two candidates, we're told to just pick one anyway. And, you know, I think that's a wrong ideology. When you decide to choose evil, you're still choosing evil. Evil is evil, no matter how you look at it. So in these scenarios when you have these different candidates, if you don't agree with either one of the candidates, you're not supposed to vote for the one that you agree with, the lesser of the two evils. You're supposed to hold your vote. And actually, it's in the Constitution. It's in the rights of your citizenship of America. It's not an obligation to vote. You know, so many people will tell you when you say, I'm holding my vote. Like I did that last time with the last election. I held my vote. I didn't agree with either one of the candidates. So I'm not going to vote for something that I don't agree with. And I got a lot of backlash. A lot of people were, you know, using that, black people, our people fought for you to vote. And our people died for you to have a right to vote. They died to have the right to vote. They didn't die for you to have to vote, for you to have a choice. Right. So in my experience, I feel that, you know, we give up our votes and our say way too easily. We're not utilizing the value of our opinions and our choices.
Yeah.
If we would decide, like say for instance, if everybody that doesn't agree with Joe Biden or Donald Trump right now decided to not vote, then they can't have the election. They have to find another candidate that we agree with. That's what I think we should be doing. We should be forcing their hand, not just giving up our votes willy-nilly just because, you know, it cheapens our value.
Well, majority of the people don't know the layers of the vote in any way. They believe that the presidential candidates are the ones that control everything. It starts at the at the city level. Man, the bills, everything that you are voting on, it starts with the councilmen, the everything at the city level, and work its way up. So if we want everything to change in our respective areas, we got to start at the where we at first, and then work our way up, man. So yeah, man, agree with you 100% on the lessons of the two evils, man. But yeah, man, that's a dope track, man. And to prick the minds of the listeners, man, and to make them do some research.
Right.
So yeah,
I like to ask people a simple question. If somebody was to put a gun to your right side and a gun to your left side and tell you, choose which one you're going to get shot with, are you going to make that choice?
Yeah.
And that's pretty much what we're doing when we're saying we're going to choose the lesser of two evils. We're just choosing one of the guns. We're still getting shot.
And the point you made about the people dying for their votes, well, that era was totally different than what it is today.
Absolutely.
They had to deal with Jim Crow. The living conditions then for them to gain that right to vote wasn't the way that they are today. So
absolutely,
we don't have to deal with a lot of the things that they dealt with. We still got to deal with some crazy issues, but we don't have, not to that magnitude where it's a life and death situation if we vote or not.
And I'm gonna give you another example of it. At that time, during that time when they were fighting for the right to vote, they were voting Republican.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? So right now with the whole, you know, just because you're quote unquote black, you're supposed to be a Democrat, and the Democrats, they've never been for us. If you look at all of the policies that the Democrats have ever put forward, they've always been a detriment to our people.
Right.
Always. Everything. You know, they're always trying to take the power from us so that they control us. You know, I'd rather, and with the two parties, if we had to talk about the two parties, I'd rather rock with the Republican Party. Why? Because at least I know that they're being transparent about what they want.
Right.
You know what I mean? They're not falsifying the whole we're for you and yada, yada, yada. They're for the company. And they're expressing it that way. They're there to build the company and make sure the company's profitable. With the Democrats, they use black, they use all these triggers to come at us that, I mean, they're not doing nothing for us. They've never done anything for us.
I'm glad you brought that up, man. I don't know if you had an opportunity to watch the BET Awards.
I was outside at the BET Awards. Me and my son and my cousin went down there.
I know you in the city. I know you out there in LA, Inglewood. But during they kept pressing the issue of vote. And voting this and voting for that, and they had a clip where Taraji P. Henderson and the vice president were like FaceTiming each other, and they were going over the issues of the right to love, who they want to love, and the right to do this and the right to do that. And it seemed as if it was just like a agenda being pushed.
Absolutely.
And so throughout the whole entire broadcast, but I love the one particular part of the show where Big Mike was receiving his award, and he said exactly what I just said about where to what level of the vote where we should start at the city level for the judges and for the police chiefs and all of that.
Absolutely.
Versus red or blue. And so, man, it was the entire ceremony. It was like a Democratic Party push towards our community, our community, our for hip hop, R&B, everything.
Right.
So it was.
They do this every time it's time for the vote.
Every time.
And what people are not realizing is they're not talking to you the whole time. They never talking to you until it's time to vote. Then they start promising you this, that, and the third. Yada, yada, yada. Think about this. All of the promises that Joe Biden made our community, when did he start even trying to bring those forth? When it was time to vote.
Right.
He waited till now. Till now, just a couple of months ago, he just started doing certain things.
The first year of the term, we heard nothing from the president.
Nothing. Now I'm gonna go the other direction with this. Donald Trump. Let's go back to the Donald Trump election, when he was president. Pretty much everything he said he was gonna do, he did. Pretty much. I mean, people forget, and I'm not here, you know, to campaign for
the
party. Man. I don't care less.
Well, your vote is your vote.
But I just want to point out certain things. Right now, you got the Democrats and the Black community, the Democratic Black community, saying that Donald Trump is this, that, and the third. Right. Mm-hmm. He was racist. He didn't do this for us. Yada 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 yada. Meanwhile, Donald Trump was the one that signed the Urban Redevelopment Act. Hmm. All right, which is a bill that he signed that made it easier for minorities. I don't like the fact that they put us in the minority thing, but hey, it is what it is right now, right? It gives us more power and ability to get loans for businesses in our communities where we were being locked out of that before. Now, Donald Trump did that. That wasn't Barack Obama. It wasn't nobody on the Democratic side. They had the opportunity to do those kind of things. The Democrats never do it. Another thing that Donald Trump did, Obama didn't give a whole bunch of money to the HBCUs. Donald Trump did that. Okay, Donald Trump did that. He did a lot of things as far as the what we call the Black community. He opened up a lot of things that nobody talks about. Why? Because we're so brainwashed at Republicans are the bad guy, Democrats are the good guy. That's the only way anybody ever really looks at it. Nobody's looking at just what the policies are, what the agenda is from both sides. Most people are just voting for a party. They're not really focusing on the people and what the policies are and what they're really doing. Because if they did, they'd be looking at not October 7th or December, you know, the running up in the Capitol building. They wouldn't be overly focused on that. They would be focused on what was done during the time of that presidency. Let's be realistic here. The country itself, I like to call it the company because that's what it is. The company was profitable during those 4 years, man. We, as a people, had more money in our pockets. We, as a people, right now, look at what the Democrats did 2 years ago. The same amount of groceries that you would buy in a week is double the price.
Right.
Meanwhile, salaries haven't gone up. Salaries didn't go up. You know, nothing went up as far as money coming in.
Right.
The stock market sucks right now. You know what I mean? All of the markets are terrible right now. They're really, really bad. I mean, crypto market's not what it was during that time. I mean, I made $20,000 during the pandemic on investments. It's hard to do that right now.
Yeah.
And this is the Democrats that are in power right now. Not Republicans.
So we're
going to be looking at that and say, okay, I mean, let's be real. Do we really want Joe Biden back in the White House?
Right. Let's flip the script. How is the both sides of the parties going to affect us as artists?
As artists? That's a hard one. Because as far as the art is concerned, neither side really care about the art form, what we're doing. I don't see anybody making any changes to the dynamic of how streaming platforms treat artists and how they're paying us unfairly. I don't see that going in front of Capitol Hill in any way like that. You know what I mean? So I don't really see either side specifically being better for artists like that.
So the reason I asked that question is the agenda at this award ceremony. Why was it presented to the artists?
Because the artists, all right, The Democrats know that in order to get the black community involved, our community is too stuck on the opinion of celebrities. And that's just the reality of it, and they know it. The biggest influencers in our community are people like Sexy Red. So what are they? I mean, their whole thing is, if we can get these people to tell their fan base to vote, their fan base is gonna listen to them and do whatever they tell them to do. So they're using this propaganda, yo. So they're using our art and our artistry as a propaganda tool. And
so I did that purposely so the audience could recognize the manipulation of both parties.
Absolutely.
And that ties back into the two songs that you dropped. Say the names of these songs again.
Heads of the Same Serpent. You got Hots 1 and Hots 2. They're both the same lyrics, but the energy of both are different. One is a nicer. One is saying it in a nicer, which a nicer beat, more bubbly, more upbeat, more vibrant, and the other one is saying it to a really, really dark beat. It's right. The same serpent.
It's the same.
You know what I mean? Serpent. Message is exactly the same.
Exactly.
So it doesn't matter whether somebody is telling you that they're gonna stab you in the heart with a smile on their face, or they saying it with a frown. End result is still the same.
They're gonna stab
you in the heart.
It's gonna be the same, man.
You know what I mean? You're gonna bleed regardless.
Yeah, so, man.
We gotta start looking at things like that.
Definitely tap in with those two new releases, man, of my brother Corey Drums. Man, what else do you got going on, man? I know you got a list of things that we need to talk about. You got Rolling Stone magazine. What's Absolutely. That about?
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm in a contest. It's a competition right now called America's Next Hitmaker. And the first prize is an opportunity to have an article in Rolling Stone magazine, slot to perform at an upcoming Rolling Stone event. I believe it's in Austin, Texas.
Good. That's down the street.
Yeah, absolutely. And a cash prize of $10,000.
That's what's up, man.
I actually have, there's quite a few of the assets in it. Because when I found out about it, what I did, I'm not like a lot of people, man. I don't keep the food to myself. Right. I like the food to family. So when I found out about it, I registered. And immediately I shared it with the assets and told them, register it. Register it. You know, the audience that don't know,
tell the TPC audience who the assets are.
The assets are the members of my ATM radio community, the Artist Training Manual community. And we call them assets because that's exactly what they are. Each one of us is an asset. Each one of us is valuable. I don't look at us as artists and simply leave it at that. I see us all as gold, platinum, precious metals, and things worthy of being invested in. And that's what I invest in. I invest in the lives of people to get those lives to the masses so that those people and those lives can be fed by their stories. That's what the assets are.
So you shared the article with the assets, and so is several of the assets in this contest.
There's several assets are in it right now. We have me, I'm in it. We have Jay Guard is in it. We have the Black Royal in it. We have Cash Santos in it. I'm not sure if Vic Legend is in it or not. I'm not sure if TNT is in it, but I did share it with everyone. You know, to let them know that I wanted them in it, because if I don't win, maybe they could win. If they don't win, maybe somebody else in our group will win. You know, I just want everybody to have the opportunity.
Right. That's good stuff, man. Definitely gonna have the link in the description. So when is the final votes and when is the contest?
Round one started on July 1st. And round one ends next Thursday on the 11th. So there's going to be a couple of different rounds of voting, and there'll be certain eliminations per round. So right now we're in round one of the voting. I'm currently at position number 13, I believe, in my group. I'm looking to push that to number one. So
vote.
And the way it works is people that are voting, you can vote once every 24 hours. All right. And there's a free vote, and there's also voting where you can put a donation and it gives you more votes, and things like for $5 and it gives you like 10 votes, something like that. So there are different voting levels, but you can vote for free once every day. And like I said, my whole goal is to reach that number one spot, because I would love to be able to tell my story in the magazine and bring attention to the Artist Training Manual and Banks Brand Music Unlimited, which will help a lot of artists around the world.
Absolutely, man. Just going backtrack just for a second, man, and briefly, if there's, just in case there's somebody just tuned in and new to the channel, didn't get to see the last few interviews of Corey Drums being on TPC, let's get a back history of who Corey Drums is, who you worked with, and, you know, not just the name drop, but just to solidify your relevance in the hip hop community.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I started rhyming in 1985. Seriously, I started rhyming in 1985. I was rapping before then, but I took it serious in 1985. And the reason I took it serious is because, number one, I'm from Hollis, Queens. So I came up under Jam Master J, LL Cool J, and these are people I knew personally. But there was one MC in our neighborhood in particular that I looked up to the most. And he wasn't a famous outside of, you know, he wasn't a record dude. His name was Romeo, Romeo the Lover. His real name is Anthony Bottom. He wrote the movie Belly. And wow. He was like the dopest MC to me. And I always wanted to be him and LL. That was my thing. I want to be Romeo and LL together. Mix them two together, and that's me. So I got put on the mic for the first time by Romeo, and I've been running ever since. And since I started, I've been on different labels. In 1992, I was the first rapper to sign a major record deal with no demo with Columbia Records. The only other artist that ever did that before me was Janis Joplin. So that was amazing. The fact that I was able to do that. I was also a member of the original Hit Squad, EPMD. I was down with them. K Solo had brought me into that camp in 91-ish, I want to say 90, 91. We were down with them during the Headbanger album and all of that. And right before the breakup, we were supposed to go on tour with them, then they broke up, so things fell apart. I was also a member of Searchlight Mob, managed by MC Search, along with Nas and OC. Me and Nas were also label mates on Columbia Records at the time. So that's that. I'm happy to have been part of that. Also, I produced the first single for a group called Nonfiction. Very reputable underground group. They have a cult following. I produced their first single called Legacy. So that's somebody else. I've also done some tracks with PMD of EPMD that I haven't released yet. I'm holding on to one of those. Corey. Corey's
around the block, man.
Yeah, I'm about to say who is Corey Drums? Corey Drums is a visionary that just sees the future and tackles it. You know what I mean? I don't wait for the industry or anybody else to do things for me or to approve me. I make my own lane and I make my own direction and I push that. You know,
that's I know the back history, but just in case somebody that didn't know or they just tuned it in. So we've had conversations for the ones that don't know, we talk regularly on the phone, and so right. we develop a relationship that's like none other than that we deal with other artists. So I know this. I know who he's sat beside and who he's toured with and all that. So for him to say what he just said, I just wanted that background for somebody just tune in and say, who is this guy that he got on here today? I never heard of him. So now you know I'm just not sitting here interviewing with somebody that just flew in off the street. This is this is hip hop royalty in the building on TPC.
That's what's up. I mean, I've also toured with H-Town. Mm-hmm. Shout out to H-Town, man. We was on tour when Dino died. When he crashed his car on I-10, we had just came back from Shreveport, and we were on our way out to the second leg, and he had just bought that car. So I was on that tour with him, Lil Wayne. I mean, I've turned down deals with Swisher House. Mm-hmm. I've turned down deals with Rap-A-Lot. You know, I've had a lot of people interested in me. Pretty much a lot of the legends, I'm a legend to them. You know, so shout out to Black Thought. You know what I mean? Shout out to Black Thought. Shout out to Biggie, R.I.P., Busta Rhymes, Wu-Tang, Mobb Deep, Mike Geronimo, Ja Rule. I mean, if anything, you want to know who Corey Drums or C-Style is, go ask one of them. And then they'll give you their perception and their perspective of who I am and what I meant to them, to their career. Because a lot of them have been inspired by me, and a lot of people don't know that, you know, and I'm just happy that they were inspired by me. I'm happy at the fact that what I do and what I've done was able to lift other people and help their creativity. So that right there, you know, one of the biggest compliments I've gotten recently in the recent years was last year when Black Thought hit me up on Instagram. And it's like, yo, you here, yo, there you go. And I'm like, yo, you remember me, yo? Like, yeah, of course I do. You was one of the biggest inspirations to my career, yo. Wow. That right there means more to me than a Grammy could ever mean. It means more than an American Music Award could ever mean. It means more than any of those accolades that the industry gives me or could give me, because those are fake. The accolades that I care about are the ones that come from the actual people. The people right. that I actually touch, the people that I actually was involved with. And that right there is that right there is everything to me. You know what I'm saying?
That's what's up, man. There's a book, man. There actually, you've written a couple of them, man. Tell us how to get our hands on these books that you have been so gracefully to pen. Some about your life, and man, it's some great material. And tell us about these books that you got out.
Well, last year I released a book, Total Pack MF, The Lives of a Hollis Crew, which chronicled my life from birth to the age of 25. And it tells the story, not just of a hip hop artist, but as a person. It tells who I am as a person, what drove me into making music, and what life was like. Now, I mean, it's never about the, you know, the glorifying of the industry and this, that, and the third. It's really just telling me what I was about and what I lived through. And so that you can actually take that journey with me. If you watched the Wu-Tang series, I'm gonna be real with you, that right there is my story. It's just coming from some dudes that came from Staten Island. Most of the shows that they was in, I was actually performing at them joints. You know what I'm saying? But the whole time I was watching it, I'm like, yo, I wonder if are they gonna show me, are they gonna have a character of anybody that's me coming in onto the stage after we walked off? Because I was that a lot of times that was what it was. It's like they performed, and then right after that, here comes Total Pack. You know what I'm saying? So just watching that, and I had written my book before that series that came out, which was crazy. Cause then I was watching the series and I was like, yo, this is my book. Yeah. You know what I mean? So it was really important for me to put the book out and, you know, let people know who was involved in my life. Because like I said, the name of the book is Total Pack, The Lives of a Hollis Crew.
Right.
It's not about one life. It's not about one person. You know, I was the front man, but I'm the face of the crew. But the crew itself, You know, it's just like I was just talking to one of my partners the other day. The industry sees Total Pack as two rappers. I make sure that they know, that everybody knows, that that is not what Total Pack was at all. Total Pack was a family. Total Pack was a crew. Total Pack was not these two rap dudes. Total Pack was me and a bunch of other cats. The other rap dude wasn't really a Total Pack crew member. It was just somebody I brought in to the group. So I wanted the world to understand what Total Pack was. I didn't want our history to be told in the wrong light. And the only way for that to be told was for me to tell it. You know, so I put out TPMF, the Total Pack MF book, last January. It's on Amazon Kindle. It's also available on the Cardano blockchain as the very first ever NFT ebook and album. Because with the NFT, I combined an album with it. It's a soundtrack that goes with it, with exclusive college radio freestyles from Stretch Armstrong, Bobbito, Wild Man Steve, Hot 97, things like that. Unreleased music from that era that I recorded when I was on Wild Pitch Records, some from Columbia Records, live audio from one of my legendary shows where I performed at the club CBGB's in Greenwich Village. So it's a lot of good stuff on there that needs to be in the collection of anybody that's interested in the history of hip hop. You know, you can't really tell the story of hip hop without putting me in it. And that's just the reality. You know, I've done so much in hip hop, and it's funny to me too, because it struck me weird the other day. I was actually showing somebody my Spotify, and the first album on my Spotify shows 2003. So somebody was like, the person that I showed the Spotify to was like, yo, wow, since 2003, man, you've been in. And I had to think, like, wait a minute, because to me, that's not long. Right. You know what I mean? I'm talking from 85 to now. So I put everything in perspective when he said that. I'm like, wait a minute, wow, that's a whole other era. You know, I've been around for about four eras now.
Right, four decades, yeah.
Yeah, it's really ill when I think about it like that, because, you know, it doesn't seem that long to me. You right. know what I mean? It really doesn't. Like, it was just the 90s yesterday. I had right. to realize, wait a minute, I'm 20 years from the 90s, bro. It's 24 years since the 90s.
Right.
So I've been making music in the 2000s for 24 years.
Mm-hmm.
I started in 85. That's a lot of years, man.
That's a lot of experience, man. And so so getting into the assets and ATM, tell us about what ATM stands for and what you're doing with ATM, utilizing all of the experience that you have from 85 up until now and able to pour back into the ATM.
Right. Well, the ATM stands for Artist Training Manual. And what we do is, I teach artists all of the things that the industry doesn't want them to know. Okay. Back when I was in the industry in the 90s, I used to get a lot of flack from industry professionals, and including my manager, MC Search, because I know so much, and I would let the industry know I knew it. I wasn't the one that was going to act like I was, you know, I'm going to smile in your face and I'll just accept anything. Nah. You're not going to get me in a meeting and start talking publishing and Corey doesn't say anything. I'm not the dummy in the room. I'm the smartest one in the room. And I let people know that. And I used to come from different meetings back in the days, and MC Search used to always tell me that my downfall in this industry, regardless of my lyrical prowess, my production acumen, regardless of any of that, he said my downfall was going to be that, quote unquote, I know too much. And I wasn't afraid to let people know what I know. So the industry, they don't want an artist to know of the things that I know, because then they can't control you. You know, right. When I walked in a meeting and they started talking publishing, and the first thing I said was, I'm not selling my publishing. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, Nas sold his. So who had the better situation? You know what I mean? When I walk in, when I tell people that I walked away from Columbia Records owning my masters, publishing, merch, everything. There was like, I literally never signed any deal that they had a vested interest in me outside of mechanical royalties. Other than that, they wasn't getting nothing from me because I wasn't giving that up. I knew the value of those things. Most artists don't.
Right.
Most artists will take a publishing deal. Somebody will tell them, oh, we're going to give you a $500,000, $1 million for your publishing. That means you just sold off majority share of your publishing rights for a very long time. That means later on down the line, when other people are collecting on your publishing and you're not, you're going to be wondering why. The why is because you took that $1 million up front. If they offering you $1 million right now, that means they expect to make $100 million off of you.
Right.
So hold on to your publishing. And then you leverage it your way later on. I learned that from my lawyer. When Columbia Records offered me $20,000 for our publishing, they wanted a 50-50 publishing situation with us with our first deal. And we turned it down. And our lawyer, well, the reason our lawyer told us to turn it down, he said, first of all, they're offering you $20,000 and you guys haven't proven anything yet. What's going to happen if you take that $20,000 and then your first project goes platinum? You can't renegotiate. Right. You've already taken that publishing situation. So he said, the first thing you do is you build your leverage. So you keep your publishing. Does that mean that later on you don't leverage that to make you some money later? No, that doesn't mean you hold on to it for yourself and hoard it. Don't be a hoarder. But what that means is you build its value. And then later on, when people are coming at you to share profit in this publishing, you dictate the rules now. You don't have to do a 50-50 deal. You could do a 5% deal. You could do a 10% deal. You could give them whatever you're willing to give them because you hold all the cards. You're the one with the value. But if you don't build that value and then let somebody else build it for you, they're the ones with the value. Mm-hmm. They're the ones that make all the rules. They're the ones that dictate everything. So what I do is I teach artists what their value is and how to control it. I teach artists how to register their music, where to register it. Most artists don't even know where their money's coming from. They put out a record and they only get their check from the distributor. Most of them have never registered with BMI or ASCAP. They don't even know what they do. Most of them, they don't know that there's a separate publishing check that you're supposed to get outside of your regular BMI and ASCAP. And that if you don't register with the correct agency to collect your publishing money, you'll never get it. So I teach the artists where to register their music. And it's funny because because I have a label, a lot of people come at me and ask me when I tell them that I've signed an artist to my label, you know, the first thing they expect me to own part of the artist's royalty, a part of their publishing. I don't take none of that. I never will. I don't even own a piece of my son's publishing. I'll never own that. You know who owns a piece of my, them? They own, my son own mine, but I'll never own their stuff. I don't want an artist publishing. I don't want it. And it goes against the principles that I laid down for the artist training manual in the first place.
Right.
If I'm telling artists don't sell your publishing and then they come to me and I'm saying, okay, I'm taking 25% of your publishing, for what? You know what I mean? It's the same as, you know, I got artists out there that pay for playlists and stuff like that. If I'm telling you not to pay for playlists, why would I tell you that I'm doing playlists to pay me to get on them? I charge you $5 a song. No. And I'm telling you, anybody that does that, you walk away from them. Mm-hmm. Do not pay for play. Do not pay for these things. If you're going to pay for anything, you pay for marketing. Advertising, real advertising, not that person that hits you in your inbox and tells you, oh, give me $30 and I'll get you 10,000 streams in 15 minutes. That is not advertising at all. Right. That right there is not even sustainable. If you're getting bots, you got to keep on having a bot hit your joint. It's just like I tell artists right now, you know, a lot of artists are part of these stream teams, right? And while stream teams are effective, they do help the artist build traction. Mm-hmm. If you're an artist where all of your streaming is coming from stream teams and you actually streaming yourself every single day, then guess what? you're in the wrong business. Mm-hmm. Because it's just like having a store, and you, like, you're a sneaker store, but you, the only people buying sneakers from you is you.
Right. You buying all of them.
You're like, come on, man. Like, what is that? Right. You're not supposed to be buying your own product like that, yo. You're supposed to be out there finding people that will buy your product and continue to buy your product. You got to resonate with people. It's about fan base building, community building. Just like I built a community, my artists, I expect them to do the same thing. Right. Build a community around yourself. Give people more than just listen to my demo. Because guess what? Nobody cares.
Nobody cares.
Nobody care, yo. You know what I'm saying? What they do care about is things that is relevant to them.
Right.
Things that they that pertain to them. You know what I mean? So instead of promoting your music, promote you. Promote you as a person. Talk about things that are relative to people's lives. Because nobody cares about your music, yo. But they will care about your music once they start caring about you.
Once they care about you, yeah. And they gotta know you stand for something, man. So
absolutely
man. I have a couple of things here. How important, you talking about the streams, how important is it to know about the analytics as an artist?
It's very important. It's hugely important. Number one, you have to know how the algorithms work. That's number one. You have to know what those numbers are doing for the algorithm, you know, how they trigger it. Another thing that you have to know is, how much is each one of these streaming platforms paying you? That right there, to me, is one of the biggest issues in this with independent artists.
Right.
Majority of independent artists just found out that Spotify is only paying 0.03 of a penny when they announced that they were going to lower the royalty rate. They all thought that Spotify was paying a penny a stream. Matter of fact, they think that everybody's paying that. They think that there's this magical number that they're getting a penny a stream. Mm-hmm. It's not the reality at all. Some pay a penny. Some pay a thousandth. Some pay a millionth. Some pay a hundredth. Some pay 4 pennies. So you got to actually research each one of these platforms and find out, how much is Napster pay? Where is Napster located? Where their audience is at? Where they're streaming at? Where they're available? Tidal. How much is Tidal paying me?
Right.
Because you could look at what they was paying Nipsey Hussle and Jay-Z, and I guarantee you no independent artist was making that money. Okay? They deal on a sliding scale. Those kind of places, they pay on a sliding scale. They pay the most popular artists the highest rates.
That's right.
It's the same like Napster.
Which leads me to my next question. How important is it to know who's the top artist in your genre?
Because
you have to have a like you just said, the top artist is getting paid the most on their platform.
Right.
So you should want to know where you fall in that bracket.
Right. And who's listening to that top artist?
Right.
Where are their listeners coming from?
Right.
All of those things matter, because you can actually hijack somebody else's following.
That's exactly where I was headed with it, man. So you knowing that, you can target your that in that marketing that we can do for ourselves. You can target their audience with your music.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Like, for instance, right now, Kendrick Lamar is the hottest thing on Spotify, on streaming, period. Right. Hottest artist.
And actually, I looked it up. He's number 31.
Wow. Right now.
Right now.
Don't tell me number one is
I can't think of her name. She's been killing it though.
Taylor Swift.
She number one.
Yeah, because she just dropped an album.
In the world though. Yeah.
What it was, she dropped an album a week after that beef. You know what I mean? But when it comes to like our culture, that's they not like us at the top of everything right now. And right. During that whole time, the way to get triggered into the algorithm would be to create battles and disses playlists.
Right.
Because at that time, everybody's looking for disses. Yep. Battle music. So what you did was you created a playlist that was battles and disses and included all of the Kendrick Lamar, Drake disses, and this, that, and the third, all of those kind of disses, include some other classic disses, and include your music in it. What does that do? It adds you to that algorithm. Why? Because people are going to wind up stumbling across that playlist because they're looking for battles and disses, and the artist that they're looking for is on your playlist. Right. And now they get to discover you along with that artist that they've been looking for. You got to know how to market yourself.
Kendrick Lamar is actually number four. Number four, and Drake is five.
Yep. And Drake's only number five right now because everybody's looking to see if he's going to drop something.
Right. So the top 10 is Taylor Swift, Billie Eilish, Lana Ray, Kendrick Lamar, Drake, The Weeknd, Kanye West, Travis Scott, Mystic, and Lil Peep on Spotify.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Now, knowing that, what artists need to do is, which one of those artists that were mentioned are similar to you?
Thank you. Notice that there was no gospel hip hop on there.
Nope. I noticed that. Maybe Will Smith will make it with that Kirk Franklin song.
Maybe, man. I'm not talking about that today.
I knew you wouldn't want to. That's why I only threw it out there like that. You know? We're going to talk about that one later.
I am not giving that no buzz at all.
Man, no, sir.
I'm not leaving room for no sound bites.
That's right. That's right. On
TPC, so no.
That's right.
Yeah, man. But there's definitely a lot of information out there for artists, man. And I'm glad that there's somebody like you that's been in the game for a minute that's able to pour back in to these artists, man. So, man, my hat's always off to you and all of the things that you're doing. You got the boys in there with you, your sons, you got your daughter in the industry with you, all on the same label, and their music is banging. So go check those. Jalen, all of them, man, are doing an awesome job, man. And not just them, but the assets, all of them are doing well on all streaming platforms, man.
Absolutely.
I know you got artists overseas and in different countries and everything, man. Let's talk about some of these other artists that's on the roster.
Yeah, man, we got a lot of artists, man. We have over 50 right now. I can't even name them all like that, but I'll name a few, man. Some of the hardest working ones too. The ones that work, they know how I am. I'm very, very proud of them. We have my artist White Prince out of Sierra Leone. He's very talented, young artist that works very, very hard, to promote himself. And he takes the direction in a really good way. Willing to learn, wants to do more. We also have another artist out of Sudan by the name of Rasta Shamir. He's doing amazing work. We also have Swizzle Africa. Shout out to my man, Matt McKinley. He's my A&R for my Zambia artist. I met Matt out here in California, and then he went back to Zambia. We signed his artist, Swizzle, and we signed another one of his artists, PST, and we have another artist by the name of Mano 96, and they're just doing, Swizzle's doing phenomenal. I mean, with all of the issues that Africa has with technology and, you know, the internet and things like that, they have blackout days, electricity. There's so much that they're not able to do as far as marketing themselves and helping themselves with this music industry. But the artists that I see that don't let those things deter them, and don't let those things be excuses. Those are the ones that I'm the proudest of. Because like I said, they could easily say, I can't do it. You know, it costs too much, yada, yada, yada. The ones that aren't doing that, they take my direction. I mean, I get artists in my WhatsApp every morning. Hey boss, what's going on? What can I do today? Can you show me what to do with this? Are there any other playlists that I can be involved in? You know, they're really attentive and they're really proactive. And I want to salute them as much as I can all the time, man. So shout out to all of the African artists, man. If I don't name you, you know who you are. And if you guys want to be interested in listening to our African artists, I have a link tree with all of our artist links on them. It makes it a lot easier. Also, we got Vic Legend on the label. You know what I mean? My bro out of Queens. Yeah. I'm really happy to have a Queens. And he stays in my neighborhood too. He stays in Hollis. You know what I mean? So to have another Hollis artist or Queens artist on the label is very, very amazing to me. I'm very happy about that. And I love his music. Vic Legend is one of the artists that I really, as much as Vic is a fan of mine, I'm a huge Vic Legend fan. Musically, what he talks about is his subject matter is just right up my alley. Very thoughtful, very intelligent lyrics. And he's a very talented artist. He's not just the artist that has intelligent lyrics. He's dope. Like, his album is really, really dope. You know what I'm saying? I advise anybody out there, whether you're interested in knowledge or not, go pick up that Vic Legend album, Private and Public. You know what I mean? Right. Because it's a really, really dope album. Also have another artist, G.O.V., G.O.V.B.D.G. out of Sierra Leone with an album we released named Diamond and Kona. Amazing, amazing African music. Amazing African music. Like I said, we got a lot of artists out there out in Africa. It started out with us releasing the Assets album, the compilation album this year, which currently is it's almost at 500,000. We're over 450,000 streams. In the year 2024, and that's independently with all bunch of independent artists. Like, I haven't seen anybody's compilation albums be this successful. I'm very proud of. I'm very, very proud of the collective for what we've been able to accomplish. And we're not done. Like I said, this is only June. We released that in January. We have a lot more to do this year. You know, our label right now is over 1.5 million streams independently for the year. So I definitely want to clap that up for all our homies, man, everybody, man. That's
congratulations, man. Congratulations, man. I'm looking forward to continue to be a part of the Assets however I can, man. So, man, I salute you. Hats off to you. Awesome job. Keep up the good work, man. So what's next? What's next for the Assets, the Chord Drums?
Well, right now I'm working on the actual print version of a book version of the artist training manual that I'm going to wind up releasing to places like Amazon, Kindle. I'm also going to release it to the blockchain as a token and an NFT. But it's really so that artists have a handbook on what to do, things that that they can do on their own DIY type situation, you know, with all of the links to the different platforms for them to register their music and, you know, different playlists and, you know, what are NFTs, just different information. I thought it was very important for artists to not only just be able to, you know, one-on-one with me. They need something to hold on to, so that when they can't ask me these questions, they have something to open up and a guideline on things to do. It's really some basic stuff that every artist should know. And again, it's information that the industry doesn't want you guys to know. Right. So I'm gonna make sure you know it.
Gotta make sure we know it, man. That's what's up, man. Man, it is always good to have you on the platform, man. It's gonna be never ending, man. We could do this for days and hours and hours and hours, but we don't want them to get too tired of the Knicks and just looking at one screen. Mm-hmm. So we're gonna keep them coming back, and every time that he wants to share anything you need to share, or you know, share some knowledge or some wisdom or some of them old hip hop stories.
Absolutely.
Of tours or anything, man. We gonna make this a regular, not every week or every 2 weeks, man. That way we can have you on doing it, and Absolutely. They get familiar with us, conversing. And hey, man, we just gonna make them get tired of us.
Absolutely, man. You know the rules, brother. Guerrilla marketing. If you stay in their face, they have no choice but to think about you. They might not like it, but they have no choice but to think about you.
That's right. That's right, man. And that's going to make more people going to want to come in and hang out on the corner. So it's going to be days that we'll have more than just you on the panel. We'll have Vic on here at the same time with us. We can have up to 10 people on here at once. So, man, we can take over if we want to.
Absolutely, absolutely. Real quick, I want to shout out everybody in Florida, man. I just got a word from one of my peoples out there that they playing my joint Gene Pool out there heavy. They love the Gene Pool out there in Florida right now. So shout out to everybody in Florida that's been showing love to Corey Drums and the Banks Brand Music Unlimited and all of the assets, man. I said, it's not about me. It's really not about me, man. I've been here. I'm good. It's about using my influence to help the other artists that aren't getting the same looks that I can get. You know what I mean? And I've always been that way. This is the way I was when I had Ike. It's the way I was when I did Total Pack. I knew that people were interested in me. I know it, and I'm happy about that, but I don't want to use my abilities only to help myself. But that's not what the universe put me here for. The universe put me here to help other people walk through the door. So come on with me.
That's what's up, man. Congratulations on the spins in Florida. Yes, sir. Another market, man. All these sales all across the country and all across the globe, man. That is what's up, man. Congratulations, man. Keep your foot on the gas and on the necks.
Absolutely.
Yes, sir.
No break.
I know you got, real quick, I know you got some NFTs dropping soon.
Yeah. Matter of fact, one of them is yours.
Oh, man. You say, matter of fact, one of them is yours. Yeah, man. So, yeah, we're still looking to do different things, man. It's an honor and a privilege to be the first, one of the only Christian hip hop artists on the brand, releasing NFTs. There's nobody doing it in my area, not even in the state. So, right. I'm honored to be numero uno when they look up over here to find out who got NFTs in Christian hip hop, and they're gonna see Pastor JT, and that's it.
Absolutely, absolutely historic. Nobody mm-hmm. can take that place from you. You are the first. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? People might not recognize it now, but 10 years down the line, 20 years down the line, when they ask who was the first one to do it, Pastor JT did it, and it's time stamped on the blockchain. You can't deny it.
Can't deny it.
You know what I mean? And that's why I focused on the blockchain so much in its early inception, because it puts us as the real estate owners.
Right.
Straight like that. Now, I don't think there's no company that has more real estate on the blockchain than Banks Brand Music. If you go to Project Noom's record store and go through their record store, you look and see that 75% of the releases in that store came from
Banks Brand. That's right.
Yeah. You know what I mean? And we put artists in there that had no idea what the blockchain was. My whole ideology on how to do it is just do it.
Right.
You know what I mean? You're never going to learn how to swim standing on the sand. Mm-hmm. You got to get in the water. Some of that water going to go down your throat. You're going to choke a little bit.
Right.
But you're going to learn how to swim.
Right.
And you want to learn how to swim better than somebody else, because you don't want to drown again. You know?
Yes, sir. Man, definitely appreciative of that privilege of being on that that blockchain along with you, man. And so, yeah, man, we definitely looking forward to the Underdog 24 being on there again, the second album on the blockchain, man. So, yeah.
And I have three TPMF albums on the blockchain. The TPMF, Lives of a Hollis Crew and the Rhymes of a Hollis Crew with the book. Then I have the TPMF My Story album, and I have the TPMF My Life For Real album. All of those albums go in conjunction with the book, so and on the blockchain. So now, in order for somebody to have the full completed set of TPMF, they're going to get those other two albums and add it to it. There's also merch that goes with it, because in my merch store, I'm able to sell NFT t-shirts with downloadable albums, and I teach artists that as well. If you have Shopify shop, and you have a Printify plugin, you using the Printify supplier, you're able to do merch, and then when you're selling your merch in your store, you can actually put a downloadable album along with your merch. So when somebody does purchase it, they're actually able to download an album to their device right then and there. They it's an MP3 album, and it goes along with the t-shirt. So all of these different things that, like, I show artists that there's more than just giving people music. Give people an experience. You know what I mean? It's all people like we all like options. When you go to to the store, right? And somebody's, you got those people with the displays, and they're doing those giveaways. The one that has the most options is usually the one that you stop at.
That's right.
They might have 3-4 different things that they're displaying right there. But because they got 3 or 4 things, you stop at the one with the 3 or 4 things as opposed to the one that only got one thing over there.
That's right.
We love options. Psychology. We got to start looking at it that way. Start dealing with this in a psychological aspect, not in an egotistical aspect.
Right. Yes, sir. Well, we definitely appreciate you pulling up, man. We hope that everybody that has tuned in for this broadcast, man, drop your anchor emojis if you're anchored any lower. Shout out to Corey Drums for pulling up to the corner once again, man. Yes, sir. There's several videos throughout this channel, man. You can go back and check out the previous interviews that we've had with Corey Drums, man. You can definitely tap into all of those, but make sure you hit the like button. And if it's your first time on this channel, subscribe to the channel so you can get more and more exclusive interviews like this. If you've been blessed, if you've been helped in any knowledge that was poured into you and you want to be a blessing to the channel so we can continue to grow, you can cash app that to The Preacher's Corner. That's cash app The Preacher's Corner. Go ahead and tap in, man. Any final words, any encouragement or words of wisdom you want to drop to the audience before we get out of here?
This is to all artists out there. Don't be an artist. Be the art. Okay? Don't be a musician. Be the music. Don't tell your story. Be your story. People will resonate with you that way. You know what I mean? It's not about trying to be a star or anything like that, because before you got into this planet, you were already a star. Once you recognize that, then you're not worried about the people patting you on the back.
Right.
Be you. Be content with who you are and express that to the world. We don't need another Kendrick Lamar. We don't need another Drake. We don't need another anybody. We need the first you. Be that.
That's dope, man. That's awesome advice, man. Again, thank you, my brother, for pulling up. Looking forward to the next time we sit down and chop it up, man. We're going to sit back behind the scenes and get together and make us out of schedule to see when we're going to get on here and chop it up, man, and give the fans something, the audience something to feast off of. Never leaving without no knowledge, without something that they can add to their ministry, to their to whatever they got going on. We got so much experience in between the two of us that we can offer artists, videographers, photographers. There's plenty of different avenues that we could take with this thing, man. So, man, definitely we'll be tapping in with you to continue to grow, not just on the channel, but as individuals, man.
That's right.
Yes,
that's
sir. Right.
Make peace, sure y'all check us out on the, make sure y'all check us out on the ATM Radio 24/7 on Station Head, where we stream independent artists, commercial, classic, all of that. You know, we play real, real dope music. We're not a station that's about just, you know, run the numbers up. I want it to be an entertaining station. It's a real radio station, you know. So yes, come on, sir, over, hang out with us, request your favorite joints, discover some new artists, and, you know, support great music everywhere, man.
That's what's up, man. One more last thing. Man, I don't know what y'all gonna do, but we out of here.
Yes, sir. Salute.
You get the glory, yeah, that's why I do it. Took me a little time, but I guess you always knew it, that I would come back. Prodigal son, now I'm on this journey for souls, until the battle's won. Will I win every soul? Nah, but I die trying, cause I'm sick of my community suffering and mama's crying. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me, so there's nothing that my God can't change, including me. Yo, I live by his word and nothing else, cause his word is so sufficient, it can stand on by itself. See, the truth will set you free.
Set you free.
True indeed, cause I'm walking through the valley with the Lord as my lead. Gave me a mission to reach the youth, so I pray I will succeed. And so far my prayers been answered, cause I got the tools I need. So I'ma keep on pushing, let them end in my story. In the end, it's about the Christ. I want Jesus to get the glory.
I sleep some nights, devil got me thinking it won't be alright.
Productions.
In-house.
In-house.
In-house. Productions.